Taranaki dairy farmer, mental health advocate, and founder of farming support initiative FarmFit. Kane Briscoe says FarmFit started with boot camp training in his driveway for local people, and it led to him pursuing a personal training qualification. The catalyst for the programme came after the pressures of farming almost forced him to walk away from it all, and exercise became his way of coping. Kane has written about dealing with the strain of making a living off the land in his book Tools for the Top Paddock, in the hope of assisting others experiencing the physical and mental challenges of farming. And Kane Briscoe joins us now. Kia ora, good morning.
Good morning, Susie. How's it going?
Oh, it's going really well, thank you. How about for you? What's the day looking like at your setup?
Yeah, really good, actually. It's first fine morning we've had for quite some time, so it's pretty happy to see the sun out for once. It's really good.
Absolutely. Now, tell us about your situation. Whereabouts are you in Taranaki?
So I've just moved to a new farm, actually, a couple of months ago. So I'm now just out of Inglewood, and I'm pretty much on the bush line of Mount Taranaki, so right on the national park there. So we're pretty high up, pretty cold and pretty wet where I am, but it's a beautiful spot with a great view, so I can't complain.
Absolutely. It'll be absolutely stunning up there on a good day, especially like you've got today. Now, were you someone who grew up rurally? Did you grow up on a farm?
No, I actually grew up just in a suburb on the outskirts of New Plymouth. So I was a town boy, actually, but I had an uncle who owned the family farm. So had a strong connection to the land and got shipped out there a fair bit as a boy and a teenager to go and work and learn how to be a farmer, I guess.
What was it that drew you to that kind of life on the land?
There's something really special about working with the land, and you add animals into that as well. And I think it's a beautiful thing. It's very tough, but it's really, really rewarding and satisfying to work with the earth and working with animals is a real pleasure, actually, most of the time anyway. I think that was it. It just felt, you know, when I was growing up, like real honest work, and I was really attracted to that.
When you actually started doing it, though, it wasn't all good, was it? Where did things begin to get a bit rocky for you?
It's definitely got its challenges, that's for sure. Pretty much as soon as I left school, I went straight into a job. All my jobs, actually, in agriculture have been really high pressure, I guess, and probably taken on more than what my knowledge knew. So I've gone into quite high pressure situations, I guess. So it's always been tough for me, but I've also learned a lot. But probably when the payout dropped, when I went 50-50 share milking and brought my own herd of cows and had some, you know, financial pressure, and then the payout dropped, basically got itself cut in half. And over 2 years, we went from a record payout of $8.40 down to something like $3.95 or $4, I think it got down to. That was really a big change for me, and I'd never been under that sort of pressure before. So that was, the start of getting myself into a bit of a strife.
And when you were beginning to get into that kind of strife, how did that sort of manifest itself in your work and in your life?
Outside of the farm, I became quite grumpy and angry. Probably took that out on the family quite a bit, unfortunately. In terms of farming, I just stopped enjoying it. Every day when you woke up, instead of looking forward to the challenges of the day, I couldn't wait for the day to end as soon as I woke up. The things that usually brought me a lot of satisfaction and joy on the farm, just it was hollow, you know. There was nothing there. Everything was got pretty numb, really. Reflecting back on that, it's quite a horrible place to be in.
Pretty hard with a job like farming. There's kind of nowhere to hide on a farm in that way, is there? Because there's always things that need doing. So how were you able to, or were you able to sort of motivate yourself to keep going?
Yeah, there's no one else is going to do it for you, is what I found. It was I guess a lot of farmers would agree, you just don't have a choice when you've got animals relying on you. It's like being the dad to 100 babies. They can't look after themselves, so you've got to do it sort of no matter what state you're in, and it's bloody tough. It wasn't about motivation, I guess. Looking after my animals was the number one motivation, I guess, and providing for them. You have a duty of care, obviously, being a farmer, to do what needs to be done for them, and then secondly, I guess, being able to put food on the table and a roof over my family's head, and keep things ticking along for my kids was the second big motivator, I guess, to get out of bed and do what needed to be done.
How much did it shake your confidence that you'd made the right choice, that this was the life for you, and maybe actually you needed to give it away?
Yeah, actually, that was the one thing that took the longest to get back, I guess, was that confidence in not only my ability, but yeah, like you said, the had I picked the right lifestyle for me, was farming for me, seeing as I'd got myself into a place where I was struggling so much with it. It took a really long time to get that back. And it was about reconnecting with my purpose and my passion, I guess, and I really had to go back to why I fell in love with farming, I think was the key, and really get to understand, what I used to love about it and why I loved it. And once I connected back with that, that confidence did start to come back. And there's nothing else I'd rather do than be outside on the land and working with animals. And I'm so grateful that I found that way back to it.
What was your tipping point?
Probably my wife gave me a bit of tough love one day, and that was enough to, I guess, start being honest with myself about how I really was in the situation I was in, and that, I guess, that gave me a bit of awareness of the spot I was in, and then from there I was able to start accepting that it was me to blame, as much as anyone else. Obviously there's a lot of things out of my control, but I'd chosen to be a farmer, so I had to accept all the things that comes with that, which was really hard to bloody do when you're in a bad spot. And I'd definitely gotten to a place where I was blaming a lot of other people and other things for the situation I was in. I really needed to get a kick up the ass and a bit of tough love to take that responsibility back, that it was my life and I had to change and adapt to make it better.
Okay, so how did you do that? How did you pull yourself out?
Well, the first thing I did was put the boxing gloves back on and started training for a boxing fight, which was, I'd been boxing, something I came across just as I got into farming, actually, as an 18-year-old, and it was a really big turning point in my life and attitude and where I saw what I believed in myself, I guess. It was a great sport for me at that time, so I actually went back to that because that was the one thing I knew that would remind me of what I was capable of as a person, and that's what I turned to. So sport and exercise, really. And once I started looking after myself and getting fitter, you start eating better and paying attention to what you're doing every day. A lot of things sort of fell into place after that. It brought a lot of other things in my life and into line. Started eating the right foods and drinking water and getting off the farm was a really big thing for me, and having a sport and a reason to drive out the front gate and forget about it for a couple of hours was really huge and mentally refreshing, I would say. And that was really important and learning to adapt and change and be a better farmer and a better person along with it.
Yeah, I'm interested that that exercise was so key for you because, farming's such a physical job anyway. You're doing an awful lot of exercise just as part of your everyday. So is there something for you that's sort of specific to doing exercise rather than just generally being active?
Yeah, and I think it's as much to do with sort of mental exercise as well. And What was really interesting for me is I'd do a full day's work on the farm, and I'd jump in my ute and drive an hour to the boxing gym and get punched in the face for an hour and a half, or 2 hours some nights even, and then drive home, and I'd be absolutely knackered physically, but I'd wake up in the morning feeling mentally refreshed because I'd gone out and pursued something that I was passionate about and something that I enjoyed doing that wasn't on the farm. It was the only break I got from thinking about farming. So for that 2 hours where I was training for boxing, if you're thinking about something else, you just get punched in the face more. So it's a really good motivator to concentrate on what you're doing. I found. So it's as physically demanding as farming is, and you do get physically buggered when you go out and choose to pursue some physical exercise of your choice, whatever it may be, whether it's just yoga or a weight session or going and playing a sport. It's filling up your cup a little bit with physical exercise that you're choosing, and I think that's mentally really refreshing and really important to it's important as part of re-energizing yourself. Even though you're physically exerting energy, you are creating a new energy, so to speak, mentally, I think.
And you brought this to other people as well because you started doing a boot camp. Tell us about this.
I guess once I sort of got myself right and got my farm sorted and things going well and got myself into a good place, I sort of looked around, not just my local community, but New Zealand farming in general, and thought, well, I thought I was a pretty physically and mentally fit and healthy person, before that. And I thought, well, there's a lot of people I can see, around the place that perhaps aren't as mentally fit as I thought I was, and it still happened to me. So I just saw a need for I saw a need for it, and I felt like I could pass on some knowledge about how I'd gone through it and used exercise to make myself a better farmer and a better person. So it was just asking the local community if they'd be interested, and I thought one or two people would turn up, and before we knew it, we had sort of 10 or 12, and all the farmers that came, and we had a few people come from town as well. They all felt better after it because they were doing something of their choice, something that they made them happy. It got them out the farm gate. It got them connecting with other people, and they got the same benefits that I got it from it, a mental refresh and doing something they really enjoyed.
And this is doing exercise, doing sort of boot camp sessions on your driveway, is that right?
Yeah, started out on my driveway, so I had pretty minimal gear when it first started out. And over the course of 3 years, we sort of built a farm gym out in the paddock. So we had a place where we could hang up boxing bags. I built some built a I guess a squat rack type rig where we could do a bit heavier weights and pull-ups and that sort of thing, and got a whole bunch of tractor tires and sledgehammers and just sort of added to the gear and made sandbags and stuff like that. So we kept it sort of a quite a unique farm style, using a lot of those movements and even farm gear, a lot of containers and that sort of thing, and posts as weights. And we ended up with a little farm gym out in a horse paddock next to the house, and it's quite a unique experience.
You're listening to 9 to Noon on RNZ National. My guest this morning is Kane Briscoe, who has written Tools for the Top Paddock and is telling us about the gym. So you've now got an actual gym set up outside your house. Who comes along to FarmFit?
We get all sorts of people, the widest variety. I thought I'd get a few young fellas, but we've had anything from, like, my kids even join in, but teenagers right through to farmers, around 60 years old, men and women. We've had quite a few people come out from town to, and they probably enjoy it the most because they're getting out in fresh air, and we've got a pretty cool view where we are, so they get to get out in nature in a pretty unique spot and do a workout that you can't replicate in a gym. So we have, we've had all sorts, just every type of person you could imagine. A lot of them even, they're not regular exercises at all apart from coming to FarmFit. So that's been really pleasing to see that they people that you know don't have a history of exercise or playing sport get enough enjoyment out of it to keep coming back. So that's really humbling and satisfying.
What was the appeal, do you think, for people who are maybe aren't natural exercisers?
I try to make the sessions really fun, challenging but fun. So they get to see progress with their fitness and strength, but they also enjoy it, and I make sure that we you know connect with each other and a little bit of competitiveness in there. So once in a while we'll split into teams or into pairs. Everybody, most people are pretty competitive when they get in the groove. So I don't know, I think it's just a really unique atmosphere, and I think it just adds to the uniqueness that it's all outdoors pretty much. And that we've got a really user-friendly setup. There's no injuries or anything like that, and it's all things that carry over into their real life too. Whether they're a farmer or a housewife, everybody needs to pick something up off the ground sooner or later. So it gives them a lot of confidence and desire to keep getting stronger at that because they start seeing it in their everyday life.
So you've got a physical training qualification. You also do a bit of social media around this kind of stuff. How about your own fitness? I mean, have you noticed that it's much easier to do the kind of the hard yak around the farm now that you're fitter?
Oh, 100%. And that was one of the catalysts for starting Farm Fit. And, me going into a place of depression, I guess, was I stopped playing rugby and I had my first winter and spring. So spring's obviously a busy time with calving. I had my first season after quitting rugby where I wasn't actually fit. And that was a really big wake-up call for me. And it was something instantly I recognised how important it was to be physically fit. Just it makes the makes a hard job easier, but it also feeds into your mental clarity and decision making and your attitude towards farming. So it's been huge, to go into the hardest time of the year. If you're physically fit, you've got that physical preparation to do a good job. And always, refer to the All Blacks. It's, they don't turn up to the Tri Nations series without, warm-up games or a pre-season. Because they get paid to do a job well, and if they turned up unfit, then they get the sack, don't they? So, as farmers, we're professionals. We get paid to do it. So it's our responsibility to turn up, fit, and physically and mentally fit and healthy and ready to put in a good performance for our job. So it's our personal responsibility, really. So it's been really huge for me to being a good farmer is turning up. Physically and mentally well.
Absolutely. And it's crucial to have both sides of that fitness, the mental and the physical. But maybe it's a reputation thing, but you don't anticipate maybe that farmers are going to be necessarily that open to talking about some of the struggles that they've faced. Is that changing?
Yeah, slowly, slowly. It's, it's going to take a long time. It's hard to teach old dogs new tricks, but I think in general the environment around people talking to each other and the attitude that it's okay to speak now is starting to come through. But it's still very very much an individual thing too. I really struggled with it for a long time really because it's that you have that stoic. What you think is a stoic attitude that you grow up with as a Kiwi male, and it's particularly strong in the rural sector. It's just not what you do. So you sort of fight. You have to fight your natural instinct to be able to talk about that sort of stuff, and it is bloody hard. Like it took me years, really, to be able to do that, and I still struggle with it now. It's just fighting that natural instinct to shut your mouth and put your head down and work, and live up to that avatar you have in your head of what a Kiwi male is. So it's yes, yeah, it's definitely going to take a few years, but it is getting better.
Do you find that by being more open yourselves, that can perhaps encourage or signal to other people you know or indeed don't know via social media that it's okay to talk about stuff?
Yeah, 100%. A big part of not speaking is a big part of that reason, sorry, because you think you're going to be judged. So people often talk to people that they feel safe with and know that they won't be judged, and they feel comfortable opening up to them. So really, if you want people to open up to you, you've got to be open with them first, and that's a signal of safety, I guess, that if you can speak your own truths and be honest to other people about how you are or whatever it may be, that's a signal to them that they're not going to be judged if they say something similar back. So it's crucial.
What would you say to people who are, maybe listening to our conversation at the moment and are maybe finding things pretty tough and maybe feel quite alone?
Yeah, it's a hard one, really. You've got to find some bravery and some courage to, seek help, because when you're in a position of, being down in the dumps or at the bottom of the hill or depression or whatever you want to call it, it is really hard to know what you need to do, because everything's numb and you're not thinking that clearly. But there are a heap of great people out there that will be able to guide you through that process of getting you back, on your feet. So it's a matter of finding a bit of courage and a bit of bravery and understanding that it's perfectly normal. If I can go through it, anyone can. It doesn't pick and choose who it picks on. I think just about everyone goes through it at some stage in their life. Understand that it's completely normal and everyone goes through it. But there is a whole lot of good help out there. You just need the courage to take that first step and dial a number, I guess, the hardest thing.
And also, there are some simple things that people can do, today without any equipment or, any particular help required, that you can do them on your own by yourself. What sorts of things do you find help to keep you grounded and help to keep you level?
Yeah, well, I'm a big believer that your physical actions uphold your mental state. Your physical fitness tries to uphold your mental fitness. So, but when I talk about physical things, I'm talking about eating good, nutritious, healthy food, drinking water. Really basic stuff that when you do that consistently, it builds something positive within your body. I'm a big fan of breath work. I've used that a lot over the years for different sort of circumstances. That really brings you back to the present and lets you feel your body, and it can really breathe life into your nervous system or calm it down if it needs to. I do these days quite a bit of writing. A lot of people would call it journaling. I just sort of call it a brain dump onto a piece of paper. Whether it's jobs you need to do, things that are stressing you out, or just things that are ticking over in your mind, I've found it really helpful to spill them out onto a piece of paper and actually, look at them rather than just have them spinning around in your head. Whether it's good or bad, I've found that quite helpful. So just, some simple physical habits, going for a walk, taking a breather, reconnecting with nature's been huge for me. I love to go out in the bush or up the top of a hill and just take it all in and remind yourself that you're in a beautiful place or how beautiful nature can be. But just some simple physical habits that if you can do them consistently, build something positive within you. And over time, that does really make a big difference to how you feel and your outlook on life.
Thank you very much. Some great advice there. Kane Briscoe, our guest this morning on 9 to Noon. His book, Tools for the Top Paddock.